Hey, g'day one. Hey, g'day all. Welcome to another episode of Strange Days Broadcast. We'll be going to the bizarre, the weird, and the unusual. On this one, we're going to start it off with about 15 to 17 minutes of the Tavistock Institute, and then we're going to roll into where the hell we go from hence to forth. Enjoy.
It was hard to know who was more crazy, me or Seth Osman. My life lay a vision deep. All that remains are memories. I remember a time of chaos, green dreams, this wasted land. Most of all, I remember the rogue warrior, the man we called
Seth Osman.
To understand who he was, you have to go back to another time, when the world was powered by the black fuel, and the desert sprouted great cities of pipe and steel. Warrior tribes went to war and touched all the blaze which engulfed them all. Without fuel, they were nothing. They built a house of straw. A thundering machine sputtered and stopped. Their leaders talked and talked and talked. But nothing could stem the avalanche.
This first little introduction, we've got around about a 17-minute little clip here that speaks of the Tavistock Institute of Mind Control, a London non-profit organisation set up by the British royal family on behalf of the central bankers' elites, aka the Committee of 300. Its mission was to design propaganda and demoralization campaigns against the people of every nation of the world. Tavistock is one of the granddaddies of the global psychological warfare. It has been tirelessly operating via perverted pop culture since the end of World War II. To instigate the decline of the United States and the nations of the world. The goal of this global freaking psychological warfare thing, guys, was to usher in the great new reset, I guess you could call it, of the New World Order. Tavistock. Let's dive into these little monkeys. Let's have a listen.
He was found dead in his hotel room in 1926 at Maurice Strong, a Canadian oil and businessman, was the president of Canada's Power Corporation, pushing the climate change agenda in the 1960s. What you may not know is that Maurice was also a big power player in Tavistock's social engineering machine, and he held the conference of 1980. He gathered occult think tankers, social engineers, cybernetic experts, and futurologists to discuss what they wanted to see happen in the 1980s. Here is a list for the Tavistock Conference of 1980. Women entering the corporate world, racially mixed breeding, the rise of Oprah Winfrey to normalize mixed marriage, youth rebellion, lesbian moms, the emergence of the fake green movement, the importance of meditation and Kabbalah to confuse Christians, the infiltration of hip-hop with gangster rap, and the New Age movement. What do you think, America? Were they successful in the 1980s? Amazing, isn't it? Do you think it is a coincidence that we started calling America the homeland after 9/11? And then we had Showtime with its popular show, Homeland? Did you know the word homeland comes straight out of the Communist Manifesto? These social scientist wizards understand you better than you understand yourself. They can profile any audience to accept lies, and they know you won't even question it. Unless, of course, you have broken your programming. When we think of the word intelligence, we usually think Mossad, CIA, MI6, but we never think Tavistock. Did you know that the majority of CIA and MI6 operatives get their training at Tavistock? Here is a list of what they learn. Metaphysics, mind control, behavior modification strategy, ESP, hypnotism, esoteric knowledge, Satanism, and Manichaean theology, which is understanding the duality of good and evil. So how did this happen? Let's go back to the beginning. Our Tavistock story begins in the late 1800s with Arthur Sharep Spiridovich, a white Russian loyalist who was anti-communist. He was a Russian general and claimed to be well-versed in international affairs and predicted huge world events. In 1902, he warned kings and dukes about future assassination attempts, and he was right. He also predicted the First World War due to his knowledge about the Hidden Hand, in which he called a secret group of 300 Jewish families controlling the world events. Spiridovich emigrated to New York and wrote the book Secret World Government. He was found dead in his hotel room in 1926 at the age of 59 from suicide. So who was this secret group of Jews? Spiridovich was talking about the Committee of 300. Walter Rathenau, a German politician, once said, 300 men, all of whom know one another, guide the economic destinies of the continent and seek their successors from within their own environment. Dr. John Coleman was a British intelligence officer who gained access to a private British museum in London. It was here that Coleman discovered the highly classified documents of Tavistock. It angered him so much, he spent 5 years reading and deciphering them, and wrote the book, The Tavistock Institution of Human Relations. Tavistock was secretly started in 1913 and was funded by the British monarchy, the Milner Group, the Rockefellers, and the Rothschilds. Tavistock's first purpose was to create propaganda to start a war between Britain and Germany. The motivation behind the war was inspired by Germany's rapid progress on surpassing Britain with economic power. Tavistock's second purpose was to infiltrate America by establishing a centralized bank, removing the gold standard, and the degradation of women and religion. This group's mission was to establish a complete breakdown of America's values, to enslave us. To jumpstart the program, they hired Edward Bernays. Bernays was the nephew of Sigmund Freud and was the father of public relations. He wrote 3 books. Crystallizing Public Opinion, Propaganda, and the Engineering of Consent. Bernays believed people were so irrational, and he believed so strongly in crowd psychology, that he could convince masses of people to do almost anything. Edward Bernays was a Tavistock coach and advisor to President Woodrow Wilson. Wilson ran and won the presidency on the promise that he would keep America out of war. But with the infiltration of Bernays, he persuaded Congress to declare war on Germany and started the First World War. And on December 23, 1913, while all Americans were getting ready to celebrate Christmas, Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act, a law that created the Federal Reserve System, the central banking system of the United States. This led to effectively abolishing the gold standard. It was now 1933, and Tavistock's mission was already 50% complete. The Central Bank of America was responsible for the Great Depression and the global financial crisis of 2007. The Federal Reserve violates constitutional law because their policymakers are handpicked by people behind the Federal Reserve. Their meetings are secret, and there is no transparency to what they are doing. In 1932, an outspoken critic of the Fed, Louis T. McFadden, said, "We have in this country one of the most corrupt institutions the world has ever known. I refer to the Federal Reserve Board and Bank. This evil institution has impoverished and ruined the people of the United States through its corrupt practices of the money vultures who control it." After the wars and the establishment of the central bank, America started to see moral decline through what historians call the new morality, or otherwise known as the birth of liberalism. It was President Ronald Reagan that once said, "If fascism ever came to America, it will come in the name of liberalism." In the 20s, known as the Decade of Decadence, we saw the emergence of the flapper. Women were now cursing, smoking, drinking, wearing revealing clothing, and the term loose entered into the zeitgeist. This was a cause and effect directly from advertising and Tavistock music, which was pushed from these think tanks. In the 1930s, homosexuality and lesbianism became rampant, not out of any inner or latent desires, but as a means to shock the old establishment during the Great Depression. During the Great Depression, the nation was numb. G.K. Chesterton, a writer and philosopher, said, "The moral, spiritual, racial, economic, cultural bankruptcy we are in today is not some social phenomenon, but rather the outcome of a carefully planned Tavistock program." The birth of MIT, the National Institute of Mental Health, the Stanford Research Center, and Wharton School of Economics were founded by Dr. Kurt Lewin, John Rawlings Rees, and Margaret Mead, arguably the best Tavistock social engineers of all time. Believe it or not, through the minds of these leaders came the brainwashing and propaganda for World War II, Vietnam, the Korean War, the two Gulf Wars, and every war that followed after. According to Dr. Coleman, the best kept secret and research that came out of Tavistock is the three-system response. The three-system response is how the population reacts to stress resulting from a contrived situation. A contrived situation is a crisis management exercise for world leaders. During a crisis, the first response is superficiality, which is the condition that manifests when a group reacts to a threat by adopting shallow advertising and slogans, which they attempt to pass off as ideals. Because the cause of the crisis is not identified, it leaves the population confused, and this phase can last as long as the controller wants it to. The second phase is called fragmentation, in which panic strikes and social cohesion falls apart. This results in society to break up into small groups, forming different attitudes and beliefs due to media manipulation. No one is on the same page, no one is getting the truth, and people become divided and fragmented from each other. This causes civil unrest, protests, verbal fights, physical fights, all caused by humans failing to identify the cause of the crisis. The third phase is called the fantasy trip. This is what Tavistock calls dissociation. In this last phase of the PSYOP, people have been so traumatized from the false flag event that they block it out or lose interest and all hope in humanity. This dissociation causes people to allow their liberties to get taken away, which ushers in communist legislation without a fight. Julius Caesar once said, "Divide and conquer." The powers that be have been using contrived situations and false flag events to shock and traumatize the world since the beginning of time. The JFK assassination, Waco, the O.J. Simpson car chase, Columbine, 9/11, Sandy Hook, the Las Vegas shooting, and don't even get me started on crisis actors. You can research that one. Do you think all of these shootings at schools and post offices, churches, concerts, and shopping malls were all just coincidence? According to Dr. Coleman, they were carried out by mind-controlled subjects who were carefully profiled, sought after, and put on dangerous mood-altering drugs like Ritalin, and controlled by DARPA computer programmers. Remember the national story about Molly Tibbetts, the jogger who disappeared for a month and was found dead in a cornfield from Iowa? At first, her alleged killer said he heard voices in his head, and the media had a heyday with him saying that. Now you cannot find that anywhere on the internet. Did you know Molly Tibbetts' dad was an architect for the Clinton Foundation? He actually designed the orphanages in Haiti. Also, do a quick internet search of killers who hear voices, and it is astonishing. I also recommend the book Programmed to Kill by David McGowan. When I think about what has happened to women in America, it is easy to see how it has been done in hindsight. From the flappers to pornography, we can see that Tavistock is really good at what they do. Remember 50 Shades of Grey? This was another mind control experiment that you could do in your own bedroom. The pain and fear that comes with sadomasochistic sex causes the brain to flow the blood away from its executive decision-making areas, the frontal cortex, which results in an altered state of consciousness in both the giver and the receiver, like doing cocaine. Do you ever wonder why certain books or movies get propped up? This always raises a red flag for me. Herbert Hoover was the 31st president of the United States. He was a Republican and was reluctant to become involved with the Federal Reserve. He believed in strengthening American business and believed that individual reliance on banks would weaken the economy. There is speculation from Coleman that his reluctance caused the stock market crash of 1929, which led America into the Great Depression, as a punishment to him and the American people. Sounds like history definitely repeats itself. Tavistock engineered the Cuban Missile Crisis as an attempt to sell the FEMA program to JFK. It was another rejection by a president, and Kennedy died that same year. Uh-oh. Tavistock immediately signed a contract with NASA to ramp up public opinion on space. Ronald Reagan was another president who was reluctant to fall in line and had an assassination attempt on him. During Reagan's presidency, the Committee of 300 had a secret meeting to make sure that after this presidency, they remained in control with their candidates of their choice.
The best part of these sort of scenarios is when they, shoot themselves in the head three times and tie their hands behind their back and then put themselves into a plastic bag. I think that is the most amazing thing of these cases sometimes. It blows my mind. It's like Houdini on freaking crack.
George Herbert Walker Bush. He was the former director of the CIA and vice president to Reagan. He was a member of Skull and Bones and was married to Barbara Bush, who keeps fetuses in jars in her home.
Barbara Bush keeps fetuses in jars in her home, guys. What the?
Dr. Crowley's daughter by a striking resemblance. Bush gave the famous New World Order speech following the Gulf War of 91.
Who do that?
Next, we had a Rhodes Scholar, Bill Clinton, and then George W. Bush, and then Obama.
no one talks much about them as well, but there's also another little branch going around in the little woodworks is the Fabian Society.
These presidents comes more social engineering, more false flags, and more corruption.
They're everywhere,
at the
guys.
Levels.
They're bloody everywhere.
John Coleman said, "We have been brainwashed into believing that communism is the greatest danger we Americans are facing. This is simply not so. The greatest danger arises from the mass of traitors in our midst. Our Constitution warns us to be watchful of the enemy within our own gates. These enemies are servants of the Committee of 300 who occupy the highest positions within our government structure."
That's right. Go look at Congress. How many people in Congress? Round about 90% are dual citizens. Yeah, Houston, I think we might have a damn problem.
The United States is where we must begin our fight to turn back the tide threatening to engulf us, and where we must meet and defeat these internal conspirators. Trump campaigned hard, and one of his messages was drain the swamp. This is exactly what he was talking about. He wants to remove the evil from within the government. Out of all the presidents, Trump has been the most difficult for Tavistock. He was discussed in a couple of Tavistock journals written by James McKay, the director for Tavistock Coaching. In 2016, he expressed concern that based on Trump's personality, he would be very difficult to coach. And in 2018, he discussed how Trump is like a trickster. Is this a confession that Trump hasn't fallen in line, but has been steps ahead of the committee? Another modern goal of the Committee of 300 is the emergence of the technotronic era. In the book Between Two Ages by Brzezinski, he says, "The technotronic era involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled society. Such a society would be dominated by an elite, unrestrained by traditional values. Soon it will be possible to assert almost continuous surveillance over every citizen and maintain up-to-date complete files containing even the most personal information about the citizen."
Sounds sort of like a little bit of sprinkle of Talmudic laws, I guess you could call it. The Noahide laws, the Talmudic laws, the Goyim, the slaves, the 300. For each of our little frickin' masters, all sorts of crazy shit, guys. All sorts of crazy shit.
These files will be subject to instantaneous retrieval by the authorities.
People are mad.
Mad, I tell you. Mika Brzezinski, the talk show host on Morning Joe with Joe Scarborough. This is the guy Trump accused of murdering one of his staffers. The book by Brzezinski also discussed future human cloning and robotoids, people who acted like people and who seemed to be people, but were not people. There are psyops within psyops. Disinformation is everywhere. Corrupt people run amok in our government. This is Tavistock. Today, people are still distracted with what the elite call the bread and circuses. Baseball, football, endless Hollywood, and Social Security. Nothing has changed. The program is so good. If you were to try to explain this to somebody, they would think you are crazy. That is how good the programming is.
Yeah, you see that when you talk to people and they look like you've got like 10 heads, you know what I mean?
It was hard to know who was more crazy. Me. Sith Osmond. My life. Gone now, swept away, mighty warrior tribes went to war, and touched with a blaze which engulfed them all. Without fuel they were nothing. They built a house of straw. A thundering machine sputtered and stopped. Their leaders talked and talked and talked.
Not a disease, it's a survival mechanism. All the toxicity through our diet, lifestyle, stress, it needs a place to house those toxins. So they house it in what's called a tumor to protect you. Cancer is not trying to kill you. Cancer is actually trying to save your life. It's creating a tumor, a place for all those toxins to be so that they don't spread to other parts of the body. When you go to a doctor, the first thing they do is say, okay, well, let's take a biopsy. Well, what is a biopsy? It's where they prick the tumor and they see if it was cancerous or not. Well, first of all, whether the tumor is cancerous or not, your passive treatment is still the same. So you don't actually need the biopsy. In fact, most people don't actually die from cancer. They die from the treatment of cancer. Remember that we're dealing with healthcare, so there's no money to be made off healthy humans. And so when they prick the tumor, they're opening it up and allowing the cancer cells and all the harmful toxins to now spread throughout the body. So now you go from having a tumor on your breast or whatever it is, now they do the biopsy, they come back and they say, okay, well now the cancer's spreading all throughout your body, so we're going to have to charge you more money and you're going to have to do more radiation, chemotherapy and all that, etc.
Kind of makes a bit of sense, doesn't it, really, when you think
DCP
about it.
DCP issued what is known as the social credit system. This system assigns credit scores to individuals based on their financial performance, legal compliance, and verbal and behavioral conduct. It utilizes reward and punishment mechanisms to improve credit standards. The credit score applied by the CCP includes political stance, criminal records, social relationships, shopping habits, and other information. It uses modern technology to comprehensively monitor people's behavior and subjectively determine their trustworthiness. According to data from Chinese courts, approximately 8.54 million people have been placed on the blacklist for being unable to repay debts and becoming defaulters. Recently, a 2-year-old girl was included in the list because her father was in debt, highlighting the severity of the CCP's social credit system. According to official documents from the CCP, 3 types of behavior affect social credit: commercial behavior, social behavior, and online speech. When someone's behavior exceeds the score criteria, they inadvertently get added to the blacklist, and the Chinese Communist Party government will never provide advance notice.
Bloody hell, I'm glad I don't live in China, but I'm sure it's coming to a town near me very soon, there's no doubt about it.
Nor are there channels for appeal or relief. For example, a child was kidnapped and trafficked in Zhengzhou, Hainan, China. When the family called the police,
the internet will be like, papers, please. We need your birth certificate, your fingerprint, and a little bit of blood. Whoa. Just drop it right at the top of the frickin' phone. They'll probably incorporate frickin' blood tests or something. Frickin' who frickin' knows. They're a bunch of madmen.
They found themselves labeled as a voluntary family. There are also Chinese practices.
We have a new blood watch to check your vital organs. All you do is just strap it on extra tight. And appreciate the thongs of needles going into your body. And we will alert you if you have an over-oxidized sugar rate or under-oxidized. We will inform you with a beep, and it's all great for you. You know what I mean? It's going to be fantastic. Happy days ahead, guys. Happy days.
Who are unaware that they have been blacklisted. They only realize it when they are unable to purchase bus or plane tickets. Officials point out that the CCP...
piss off. I don't want to hear about it.
Did you know that putting salt in your coffee can not only make it taste better, but can also help you if caffeine makes you feel jittery or lightheaded? James Hoffman, coffee expert, talks about the taste.
Generally, saltiness can amplify sweetness, for example, and it can also mitigate or reduce bitterness.
And Dr. Andrew Huberman, a renowned neuroscientist, talks about the effects of caffeine on your brain.
And a lot of people feel jittery when they drink caffeine. They feel lightheaded or they suddenly get hungry. That's because they're sodium depleted. Taking a little pinch of salt, your shaking stabilizes, you feel more alert, it increases blood volume, and oftentimes then you're getting more blood flow to the brain.
5 grams of salt a day, guys, there's no doubt about it. Bit of a sprinkle, put it in your palm, down your little shit chute, and away you go. There's no doubt about it.
Where he was talking about why Israel deserves to exist and stuff. After being there, man, holy shit, I feel like people have no idea what I didn't even know what the hell was going on until I went to Palestine and saw how crazy it was. But
what,
man,
is it like? Tell me, give me your thoughts on your...
So everyone mistakenly thinks that Hamas like controls Palestine. That's not true at all. There's three different areas that were drawn up with the original partition. It's the West Bank, which is totally under military rule by Israel. And then there's the Gaza Strip, which is like the open air prison, which they bomb the shit out of like every couple of years, and Hamas controls that area. And then there's Jerusalem, which is an international city center that both Arabs and Jews live in. But the West Bank has been occupied militarily since 1967, and it's complete martial law. There's checkpoints. All political parties are illegal. You can't, having a gun is like the least of it. You can't hold a flag. You can't belong to a political party. You literally can't do shit if you're a Palestinian. You just have to sit there and submit. And if even if you share a photo of someone who was like killed by an Israeli soldier, you go to jail, and you go to jail for the amount of like months that,
what?
Yeah, based on the shares and likes of the photo, they'll penalize you more and put you in prison for longer and longer. I mean, I'll just
wait,
tell you one story.
If you put a photo on social media, like you
of
put
someone
on
who
Facebook.
Died, and they'll be like, you're sharing a martyr and inciting people to like commit suicide, like on behalf of Palestinians, you go to jail, and they put them in jail. There's a 99.7% conviction rate. Kids are tortured. Kids are in prison. It is absolutely insane. We went to the first day that we were there, we went to a funeral of some guy, some farmer who was shot by Israeli forces, and we went to the funeral. It was horrible, you know, all the women are wailing and crying. And as we're leaving, the Israeli forces had set up a checkpoint right outside of this dude's house and started tear gassing and shooting rubber bullets like at people who were simply attending the funeral, just to punish people for attending the funeral. We went to another girl's house named Aya, who got shot in the vagina for peacefully protesting at some protest. And they shot 200 people that day. One guy next to her died. Another guy was paralyzed. They have a policy called shoot to cripple, where they shoot guys in the dicks. Yeah. It is fucking nuts, man. The West Bank is no joke. I thought that I was going to die several times. We were at this checkpoint going through Calandia, and there was this old man walking, like clearly drunk or something, and kind of like walking a little bit toward the checkpoint. They started shooting at him. Bullets are ricocheting off the thing. And I, you know, my partner, Mike, who was an invading soldier of Iraq, was just like, we're going to die. Like, they're shooting this guy. There's bullets ricocheting. It was absolutely insane. And as we go through the checkpoint, the soldier's like, hey, stay safe out there. And I was like, yeah, when you guys are arbitrarily shooting people. And the person who was driving us had just told us that a couple months prior to that, some woman, Palestinian woman, because you can't go to Jerusalem, like, if you're Palestinian. There's, like, barely any Palestinians who are even allowed to go pray at the most holy site, the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. You can't go to the beach. You're just completely constricted in a prison, and you can't travel. And he was just telling us that months before we went through this checkpoint, someone was going through the checkpoint because they got a permit to go into Jerusalem, which is, like, a lifetime golden ticket, like Willy Wonka. And they're walking, and they get, and she just got executed. And then...
What?
Yeah, she just got executed, and she was bleeding out at this checkpoint, and her little brother tried to help her, and they shot him too, and they're like hiding the video of this.
Why,
and this is just a day because they fucking hate Palestinians, and Palestinians are animals to these people. It's sick, man. It's sick. It's really, really sick, Joe. And I couldn't even get into Gaza. We were banned from going into this territory because I was told by the Israeli government that I was a propagandist and that I was like an enemy agent, and so I wasn't allowed to go into Gaza. So Gaza's hell, but the West Bank is under martial law and everything's illegal.
His real name was Karl Heinrich Mordecai Marx. Father of Karl Marx was Herschel Mordecai, who...
Yeah, let's dig down the rabbit hole of Karl Marx. I think this is fascinating. Check this out. Here's some dots.
Was the son of Rabbi Mordecai Marx Levi, who was... His real name was Karl Heinrich Mordecai Marx. father of Karl Marx was Herschel Mordecai, who was the son of Rabbi Mordecai Marx Levi, who was the son of Samuel ben Mordecai Ha Levi, who was the son of Lajos ben Mordecai, who in the 1400s, Lajos Mordecai changed his name from Mordecai to Schwab. So the Schwab bloodline today is the bloodline of Karl Marx. But wait, there's more. Lajos ben Mordecai Schwab was the son of Samuel Leopold Schwab II, who had changed his name from Guntberger to Schwab in the 1500s. And he was the son of Samuel Guntberger, who changed his name from Bauer to Guntberger. And the Bauer bloodline was originally named the Bacharachs during the time of Christ. The Bacharachs in 1501 changed their name to Bauer, and then 76 years later, in 1577, they changed their name to Rothschild. So they're all related.
Did that blow your mind? Yeah, I think that might have blown your mind. No doubt about it. Where else can we go?
Number one place that toddlers are finding pornography is YouTube Kids. Why? What is the reason behind this? There are videos that have been uploaded to YouTube Kids that appear to be kids' videos. They're animated cartoons, and they look, you know, really sweet and innocent from the beginning. But there are videos on YouTube Kids of Spider-Man and Elsa who are stimulating sex acts. There are cartoon videos of strippers. There are videos of Peppa Pig drinking bleach and injecting things into his body. It's interesting because parents, you know, they'll walk by their kids watching these videos on their iPad and they'll say, oh, they're just watching Peppa Pig. When in reality, it's a knockoff version of Peppa Pig that someone has created where he's injecting bleach and other things into his body. There are knockoff videos of Paw Patrol with suicidal themes, and the list goes on. There are over 100,000 accounts on YouTube Kids created by child predators who leave comments on videos targeting.
Somebody said, today I was listening to the radio in the car.
Well, this is a bit of a hard one, but it's, for some reason, he's got to omit borax. So he's saying, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's his country or something. I don't know what the hell that it's all about. But when he omits something, he's talking about borax. Check this out.
And they were talking about people ingesting and how dangerous it is. They're making fun of people ingesting laundry detergent. Now, that's interesting you say that because is sodium tetraborate, and the document, the conspiracy, written in the 1980s, explains every single thing about that. It's salt. That's what it is. But it's marketed as laundry detergent. Now, there's a big difference in ingesting Tide Pods. Remember when everybody was doing that? When people were eating Tide Pods? That's toxic. That's poison. Those are chemicals. You're ingesting chemicals. But it's just interesting. When you get into these things, you just see how flipped everything is. Now, what's interesting, too, is sodium tetraborate is the counter to fluoride. What's in the public water supply? Fluoride. What's in the pineal gland and built up in this area? Fluoride. So what does do? It counters both of those, and it removes that out of the body. It's also the counter towards arthritis and osteoporosis, a multi-billion-dollar industry. So when we really start to look at things, a lot of things are inverted to keep, like I said, the money keep coming back into it. So same thing with when we get into the benefits of copper as well. Even taking copper and wrapping it around a crystal creates a...
Right now I'm going to just read a quote from Edward Mendel House and what he had to...
All right. Let's do a 4-minute little update on the birth certificate, see where this thing goes, eh?
Say in a private meeting with Woodrow Wilson, president between 1913 and 1921, from the private papers of Woodrow Wilson, quote, "Very soon, every American will be required to register their biological property in a national system designed to keep track of the people, and that will operate under the ancient system of pledging. By such methodology, we can compel people to submit to our agenda, which will affect our security as chargeback for our fiat paper currency. Every American will be forced to register or suffer not being able to work and earn a living. They will be our chattel, and we will hold the security interest over them forever by operation of law merchant under the scheme of secured transactions. Americans, by unknowingly or unwittingly delivered the bills of lading to us, will be rendered bankrupt and insolvent forever to remain economic slaves through taxation secured by their pledges. They will be stripped of their rights and given commercial value designated to keep us a profit that will be none the wiser. For not one man in a million could ever figure out our plans. And if by accident one or two would figure it out, we have in our arsenal plausible deniability. After all, this is the only logical way to fund government, by floating liens and debt to the registrants in the form of benefits and pledges. This will inevitably reap us huge profits beyond our wildest of expectations and leave every American a contributor to this fraud, which we will call social insurance. Without realizing it, every American will insure us for any loss we may incur, and in this manner, every American will unknowingly be our servant, however begrudgingly. The people will become helpless without any hope for their redemption, and we will employ the high office of the president as our dummy corporation to foment this plot against America. Having established plausible deniability, even if people become enlightened that they had a remedy and pursued it, the attorneys, judges, and legislators could claim that they did not understand the people's claims, especially if the technical requirements for achieving it were not followed pursuant to statutory requirements. Requiring the public schools to teach civics, government, and history classes out of federally approved, politically correct textbooks written by the publishing houses owned by the owners of the Federal Reserve would assure that the people would not discover the remedy for a long time, if ever. I would recommend that everyone read Fruit from a Poisonous Tree by Melvin Stamper, M-E-L-V-I-N, Stamper, S-T-A-M-P-E-R. That is Fruit from a Poisonous Tree. This is out of Chapter 2 of Fruit from a Poisonous Tree.
Genetically modified foods create molecules that the body doesn't know. Genetically modified foods have the ability to tamper with your DNA. Genetically modified foods cause cancer. What's cancer? Cancer is a mutation of the cells. What causes the mutation of the cell? The mutation in the DNA. What causes the mutation in the DNA? Genetically modified food can do that, and so can these other things. Well, how do you know? Because I know in America, Australia, New Zealand, they do not have to state if the food has been genetically modified. The safest thing to do is to go organic. Now, we are not 100% organic. Very difficult to go 100%, but you do the best that you can. We grow quite a bit and we buy as much organic as we can.
Oh, the bloody thing froze, guys.
Genetically modified foods.
Holy hell! Holy shit!
Oh, the barge crashed into a bridge that services a part of the Highway 59 and spans Arkansas river near, I think it's Salisbury yesterday.
Did you feel it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that car is loose.
He was moving quick.
That barge is loose.
There's a man standing right there.
Oh,
I think there was another one in the Philippines from a Chinese cargo ship that as well, I didn't save it. It just seemed a little bit petty, but yeah, lots of crazy stuff going on. You'd think you'd have like a, what do you call it, a barge or something around the frickin' pylons, for Christ's sake, you know, like come 20 foot out and just put these solid frickin' metal, you know, shenanigans going around it. Oh, well, wouldn't be too hard to actually construct that if they're doing main exports like that. It's not like little yachts or something.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
I guess I'm aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America.
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America, the so-called Western forces of Texas and California have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
Bloody.
Every time I survived a war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know.
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty
and justice,
for all.
Go, go, go,
go. God bless America.
CERN is going to be firing up on April 8th, the same day as the X eclipse, same day in 1904 that Aleister Crowley first channeled IWAS, an entity that he identified
as IWAS.
They remained in communication for 3 days until the 10th of April. April 10th is the same day that CERN will be firing up its proton synchrotron booster. Same window that CERN is firing back up is the same window that Aleister Crowley channeled this entity IWAS, who he called Satan. During the time that Aleister was communicating with IWAS, he was told to draw an X. This is the Great American X Eclipse, because the 2017 and the 2024 eclipse are making an X over the United States. April 8th is also the same day that NASA will be firing 3 rockets at the eclipse, possibly causing some communication disturbances. The second rocket will be launching at 3:22. 3:22 is associated with skulls and bones. 3:22 is the same day that CERN started warming up in preparation for April 8th. CERN's antimatter factory will be firing up on April 22nd, the first day of Passover, a holiday associated with sacrificing lambs. And we know about these red heifers that came from Texas, where the X eclipse will be passing over. Those heifers need to be sacrificed by April 10th. Yesterday, CERN announced that they discovered a phantom mystery entity inside their particle accelerator. I hope it's not IWAS. What if CERN has an entity inside it named IWAS? IWAS sounds a lot like AI was. And the Bible describes a beast that was and is not, that rises out of the bottomless pit. CERN is like a bottomless pit.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I'm thinking I'm coming up to about, what am I at here? The 48-minute mark, bloody hell. I see, what the hell is this now? I was actually trying to go back into a folder. It's not working. You're not going to load, old mate, are you? You little bastard thing. You're not going to do it, Billy. And Billy ain't working too good tonight, guys. So dead about it. Bloody hell. Well, I might have to go out with something that I didn't sort of plan, you know what I mean? So now I've got to go onto a backstage, do I? Ah, yeah. I'm going to get this folder. Piss. This thing keeps popping up, man. It's freaking. Anyway. All right, let's go with 3-4. I'm out of here, man. Take care, all. I'll be back. I want to end my broadcast at the hour. Hope you enjoyed something about the Tavistock Institute. There's no doubt about it.
Three, four.
Yeah, I'll be back in about 5 minutes. I'm just having a quick break. 2 hours too long, man. Fucking move. Thank you. Very strange. Very strange. Right. Take care. Catch you in the next episode.